If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Talking about night-time podcast. A podcast. Oh, no. You woke me up in my very long, pointy nightcap that dangles down with a little puffball.
Oh,
just fell.
And
I've lifted my candle on a golden saucer to look into the distance to see who
you
has
there,
woken
boy.
Me from my slumber.
What day is it?
It's almost Halloween. Buy a king-sized Hershey's bar. It's two chunks. As I'm sure you could tell.
Yeah, who else could do a start like that?
And I'm Jordan.
So strong.
Yeah. We're such known for that.
Today's punchline, I'm Doge. Today's punchline is use big words.
How do you talk to Bigfoot?
Oh.
How do you solve a big crossword puzzle?
What's the best way to speak to a giant vampire? Use big words. That is genuinely number two on a list of best vampire jokes that I found.
Is that supposed to be like an anti-joke?
Nope.
Surely.
It's on today.com.
But it's
still a joke.
What is the joke?
Well, the vampire is so big.
Right. So is it supposed to, I'm saying like, is it one of those anti-jokes where it's like supposed to elicit the like, kind of reaction?
Yeah.
Nope.
Like the,
it has to be.
I don't think so.
How come you can't find hippopotamus hiding in palm trees? That's my favorite anti-joke.
Because they're going extinct?
No,
because they don't climb palm trees.
Because they're good at it.
It feels like it has to be something like that.
Yeah, I think
that's context clues would say no. It's just funny. Just good, clean fun, boys.
Good, clean fun. Finally. Let's clean it up before we get real dirty in the snow. Here in the second half. I'm Carter, and I'd love to play a game.
Oh.
Would y'all want to play a game with me?
Yeah, I'd love to play a game.
Do you care to do that? I don't know. Sometimes when he plays games, it hurts.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sometimes it hurts.
I will.
I would love to play some Synopsis with y'all.
Okay.
It's been a long time.
Yes, please.
When we've played it in the past, which I think we should do the same rules as we have. I will.
That's a
give
great
you guys
way to
a,
games. I think.
I think it's great. I'll give you guys a movie, and I'll tell you how many sentences, and you have a little guess at how many like proper names are in this, capitalized names of people. Did we say places?
Yeah.
No places. I think just people. Yeah.
Yeah. Capitalized names. I think is what we said.
Yeah.
We've
just
done
names of
before.
Persons.
Let's just do people.
Character names.
Character names that are in this. And then they go back and forth word for word to try and get as close to the actual synopsis on IMDb as possible. Can we start by me reading some old ones and you guess what movie?
Sure.
Yeah, that's fun.
Does that sound fun?
That's fun.
Old ones we've done.
That you've done, correct.
Got it.
Just some other ones I picked up. Some old ones that y'all have done. Navy fighter pilot Maverick is thrust back into action after his past.
I mean, solid.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I wanted to do that one first. That one's easy.
That's a good one.
An assassin with a bucket hat attempts to survive the train full of bloodthirsty assassins, and they have no mercy.
That's good. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's bullet great. Train. Bullet yeah. train.
We're good yeah. at this.
Good job, guys. Good job. A woman discovers her connection to the alternate universes surrounding her own while attempting to file her taxes.
Yeah, everything, everywhere, all at once. Man, we are
great at this.
Yeah.
When Susie, when Susie notices smiles, she's scared of them. Little does she know, there's a even more smiling coming.
Is this smile?
Is that smile?
Yeah, I think y'all just took a shot at it. There's more a smile coming.
There's more a smile coming.
Oh,
oh no.
Gosh. This boy crazy. So time's running wacky and coming to a stop.
Is it Donnie Darko?
Is that Donnie Darko?
Yes.
This boy crazy.
This boy crazy.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah. Here's one more. A genius consumed by a rivalry must attempt to pull off the most daring and dangerous theft of all time. He's going to steal the moon and also the affections of three charming little orphans, Banana.
I mean, we killed that. Despicable that, me.
You did. I did love the
until
end of
the
that,
second
though.
Sentence. I did think it was the Prestige.
Yeah, right. There was a lot of things that it could have been there
until we stole the moon. That's
right. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Let's go ahead and let's add some to this beautiful, beautiful archives here.
Yep.
Let's do 30 Days of Night, the movie that we're going to review here in our vampirish Chunktober.
Sure.
I got nothing here. No character names. One sentence. Who would like to go first?
I think we normally figure out who would go first by guessing how many character names
there
are.
We usually
Oh, yeah. Coffee Maker's
Broken. We actually said when we entered the bit that we were going to do a guess.
Yeah
Coffee Maker's Broken. Coffee Maker's
Broken. Yeah. Why don't we... Let's just guess. Yeah. Let's just guess to determine who's going to go first. I'm going to go with one. I'm going to say one character name.
Okay.
I think there's 10. Everybody gets their own paragraph.
Okay. I guess it's...
Okay, Jordan, you get to go first.
Yeah.
There was only
30daysofnight.com/staff, and everybody's got their own little bio.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Tone's going to be really important at the beginning here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh!
No!
Exclamation point.
I thought you had an epiphany. I didn't know we were going right into it. My bad. Okay.
Yeah.
I said exclamation point, but I still get the next word, right?
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay.
Punctuation is not a word.
There's
night,
always,
and
a lot. Is that it? I'm sorry, a?
Yeah, a.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's right behind me, isn't it?
What was your word, Doge? After a
lot.
Okay.
O, and that's O with an apostrophe.
Of course.
Yep. Vamps.
Period.
All right. Oh, no. There's night always and a lot of vamps. I think you'll be able to guess that one in a couple of years when we read back into the archives.
We'll get that.
The actual retail price, the actual synopsis. After an Alaskan town is plunged into darkness for a month, it is attacked by a bloodthirsty gang of vampires. Succinct, to the point, you hit the main points.
That we'll get to this later in the episode. But what a cool premise for a movie.
That one feels a spot on. Next, I think I'm actually just going to go based on what I was searching in IMDb over the past couple of days. We're just going to go down the line. So that would mean the next one is Boogie Nights.
Okay.
Was looking at this because Paul Thomas Anderson's one battle after another.
Yeah. You know, I haven't seen Boogie Nights, but I'm sure I could figure it out.
Sure. Any guesses on how many names? Because that'll be helpful, I think.
Hey, I hope
remember
zero.
Any names from the movie, if I'm being honest. It's been a few years, but I'm going to say zero. No, I'm going to say one.
It is zero. Doge, you'll go first.
Six. feels when you haven't seen the movie and you do go first, it does sort of feel like playing Minesweeper. Where it's like, oh, I'm just going to start clicking. When?
Some
guys
make
a or an
adult
decision.
What? He doesn't know what it is. He has no idea what this movie is. He doesn't know. Yeah, I'm trying to. It's like playing ping pong with somebody facing the wrong direction.
An adult decision.
And they do. And they do.
They certainly do.
Things.
Comma. Predictably. Comma.
Get
a
little
out
of
hand.
Period.
When some guys make an adult decision, things predictably get a little out of hand.
I try.
Hey, I think it's actually harder to find a movie that's not a synopsis for.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You've made the synopsis. An idealistic porn producer aspires to elevate his craft to an art when he discovers a hot young talent. Idealistic porn producer aspires to elevate his craft to an art when he discovers a hot young talent. Adult decision?
I was hoping film might pop into film your head should for have just been. A second, but
film should have been.
You're just so pure. You're just so pure of heart that there's no way it would even occur to you.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. I think that synopsis that we've written is sort of like the new hero's journey. Like, we don't need Joseph Campbell's monomythic structure because we have the new one now.
Yeah,
adult decisions. When some guys make a big decision, things don't go the way they wanted it to.
And we knew that would happen based on the decision.
Yeah, we knew it would happen. It's predictable. It always happens.
I am now starting to see there was a unbeknownst to me theme. We just talked about Boogie Nights. The next thing that was in my search was the recent Dwayne Johnson film, The Smashing Machine.
Oh, perfect. I know nothing about this one. So
great. Yeah.
And I watch it every day.
Any guesses?
Zero.
On the names?
Probably one, the famous guy that Dwayne is playing.
Correct. Doge goes first. There is one.
Well, I don't know what his name is.
You shouldn't have done a good job.
Do you know what his name is?
No. I just said I know literally nothing.
We'd be in the same boat then.
Right. I'm just saying don't complain about it.
Wow.
And here's the secret, what they won't tell you. It's actually better to go first.
I didn't even know he was
A or Win.
I didn't even know he was playing a famous guy.
Tis.
It's a real guy. Yeah, it's a real guy's life.
Listen to me. When I say I don't know anything about this movie, I'm saying that I know the name of it and I know that Dwayne Johnson's in it. I haven't seen a trailer. I don't know anything.
I looked this up because I saw
A.
It's pretty good. Not great.
The first word of our synopsis is A.
Big.
Oh, I'm not writing it. Sorry. A big. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Got one job here.
Trying to remember.
A big.
Wrestler.
Okay. Smushes.
And
smashes
and
crushes
and
crashes
and
smacks
his
what?
Enemies
in
half.
Four exclamation points.
Yeah.
We don't have, because we
forgot to mention this is in all caps.
Yeah.
Yes. And we needed his name. Do we want to replace that with Big Wrestler?
I thought his first name was Big, his last name was Wrestler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just capitalize those.
Okay.
And get rid of A at the beginning.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, sorry. We don't usually make edits, but I appreciate y'all.
Yeah.
Change A to Mr.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah. Okay, we got the same number.
All right.
Because I went first. I'm retroactively changing that.
Mr. Big Wrestler smushes and smashes and crushes and crashes and smacks his enemies in half.
Hey.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I bet
that's
it's pretty close to right.
Hey, I would watch that pretty movie. Close.
Not in half, but that's pretty close. The in story thirds. Of mixed martial arts and UFC champion Mark Kerr. That's it. Y'all's is much more exotic. Yeah, this was lame.
Boring.
This was lame. But that synopsis us. I feel synopsed.
Yeah, I feel pretty damn synopsed.
That. Yeah, I think we did well. I give us 100.
Brilliant work.
Probably, if I'm grading.
When two minds join together.
I give it 100. I want to see what happens when your two minds join together. We're playing a new game today. It came to me as I was watching 30 Days of Night. Because I do this thing when I'm watching a movie where this is a 2007 movie. And so I'm thinking, okay, this is the same year that Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 3 came out. So there's somebody who saw both of these movies in theaters that year. What was their life like? Or like, this was only 2 years before Avatar. Can you imagine, like, the people at this point had no idea what was coming in 2 years. I'm really interested in, like, the way that movies relate to the time that they were released. So we're going to play a new game today. And I think it's simply just called The Middle. And what we're going to do is... I've reached out to them. I emailed them and they won't get back to me. I'm trying to license that.
I fully, having listened to many a podcast starring Mr. Jim from Jimmy Eat World, I fully believe that he would respond and say, yeah, use it.
Okay. Hey, Jim, just please text me
Jim,
back.
Can we do it?
Please email me back. Jim, please email me back. This movie, 30 Days of Night. Is 18 years old. It released 18 years ago in 2007. It can vote. It can vote, and it should vote because that's... so there's two ways we can play this. Guys, you get to choose. Do we want this movie, 30 Days of Night, to be the meat of the sandwich or the bread of the sandwich? And what I mean by that is we're going to choose a movie that's either the exact midpoint from 2007 till now, or... We're going to treat this movie as the midpoint and go back to a movie from 1989. You guys are going to, through a series of questions, have to figure out what that movie is. So do we want to treat 30 Days of Night as the bread or the meat of the sandwich?
The meat.
The bread.
Oh.
Well, I've become in the last 24 hours since watching this really interested in the trends that are repeating themselves between now and 30 Days of Night.
Meat just felt more on theme, but with the movie itself, sure. That's fine.
It is exceptionally rare meat. Yeah, that's important to know.
We could do the bread.
I say bread.
Do the bread. Okay, so the exact midpoint then between 30 Days of Night and today is the year 2016. The way this game is going to work is that this is an 18-year gap, and so you guys have 18 yes or no questions. You're working together. You can alternate. I would recommend alternating. That way it's fair. Nobody gets their feelings hurt. I have identified a movie from 2016 in film on Wikipedia that lists the top 10 films of 2016. That's the exact midpoint between 30 Days of Night and today. You guys get 18 yes or no questions to figure out the movie that I'm looking at right here.
The number one movie?
No, I'm just picking one of the top 10.
Okay, one of the top 10 movies from 2016. This is box office?
Yep. Highest grossing films of 2016.
Worldwide.
Picking one of the top 10.
Domestic. Domestic or worldwide?
Worldwide.
That's not one of those questions.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
They're yes or no questions.
We're going Pitbull style. Yes, they are yes or no questions.
Correct. All right.
Do you think that counts as a question?
Nope.
Okay. I have a question that can be answered with a yes or no.
Good.
Is it a Marvel movie?
No.
Wow.
Have we covered it on this podcast?
Good question. Yes.
So I asked it.
Did it make over $1 billion?
Yes.
But it's not Marvel.
But it's not a Marv.
Did a Star Wars come out in 2016?
Yes.
I was asking Carter that question.
Oh. Got him, dude. Yes.
You have so many questions. You can afford to burn a generic question like that one.
That's why I didn't ask you, though.
Is it a Disney-produced film?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it Star Wars The Last Jedi?
No.
Okay. Oh.
Is it...
It would be Rogue One that year, wouldn't it?
Is it Star Wars The Force Awakens?
No, that came out in 2015?
Oh, sorry, just a year before. I don't know.
Didn't it?
Is you think that counts as a question?
Nope. Is it a Star Wars?
Yes.
There you go.
Is it Rogue One?
It is. You got it right. Guys, that took you 9 questions.
We were in the middle of the amount of guesses.
You were in the middle. You used exactly 50% of your guesses to get to Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Wow.
Isn't it interesting to think about? Rogue One is like the exact midpoint between 30 Days of Night and today. I think about time that way often of like the distance between... I was listening to something. Oh, I was listening to... I was listening to Southern Weather the other day. And realize that is the same distance from the release of that record until when I met Jordan as
amazing.
the 2020 COVID pandemic is from today.
Yes. Were we talking about my proximity to the moon landing?
I'm sure we've talked about that before. Carter, I know you have a time thing like this too.
I do this all the time. But yeah.
Nice.
I was as close to the day that I was born. Was as close to the moon landing as the year 2000, as the day I was born was to the year 2005. So the midpoint between 2005 and the moon landing is my birth.
Is the Council of Elrond.
The Council of Elrond itself. Crazy. Right. Can we make it the meat?
That's the middle.
We're just really good at it.
Yeah. You want to do the other one too?
Sure.
Let me pull my list back up.
Cults, little cult, clones.
yeah. Okay. Right. We're looking at 1989.
Telling Jordan secrets in Vampire.
Mm. 20 years after the moon landing.
You guys want to reset your guess count? Or keep going? You see if you can get both with only 18 guesses.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's just try. Yes or no questions. Identify the movie that I'm thinking of.
Is it a Marvel? Is it an MCU movie?
1989.
Have we done it for the podcast? Have we reviewed it?
Ooh, no.
I don't know it then.
Then, yeah.
What is this, our 500th episode? I've only seen 500 movies.
Is it action?
I mean, yeah.
What?
So far, we have identified that this movie has not been covered on the podcast, and it is action.
But it was like a...
He laughed at it, though. Yeah. It was a stupid question. It was like it's not one of the biggest genres in the world.
Like, people in 1989 weren't absolutely salivating at the thought of action on their movie screens.
Is it based on a real story?
Avatar based? No, what is it? Not Avatar. Is Avatar based on real? What is it in Parks and Rec? Is Flintstones? Is that what it is? No, what is it?
I don't remember what it is. No.
It's not based on real.
Not based on real. It's nothing that came true.
Is there love in it?
Dang.
Ooh.
Romantic love.
Yes. Yeah. I'll let you that count as one question.
1989. Jordan, this is a question for Jordan, not for Doge. So don't you dare answer it. But if you do, it's not my fault. And it doesn't count. At what point do we start just taking a shot at a really big actor or actress of that time?
I know you want to say Arnie, so just go.
Well, we haven't done?
Yeah, we've done most, for sure.
So I'm actually going to say nope.
Okay. Oh.
Mm-mm. Is this a Harrison Ford movie?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. He tapped into something.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Wow.
I felt it, dude.
Wow, dude. Wow.
I felt it, dude.
Wow.
It's probably because I haven't had coffee, your brain and I feel a little bit grumpy. So if you can get a bit in the grump, you can find Harrison grump. There.
Harrison Ford movie.
I've never seen any of his movies, so I'll just have to guess. But
is it Rogue One?
Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Oh, what year did Air Force One? No, there's no love in Air Force One. There's not no romance really. In Air Force One.
Not that I
can. You don't think he loves America in that movie?
I'm sure he
romantically.
Does.
He does.
Yeah. Do you think he would kiss America if it had a mouth?
America.
I mean, we haven't done all the Indiana Jones.
We've done all the indies. I feel like it's probably an indie. Which one of them came out?
Not Raiders.
No, certainly.
Wait a second. This might be. No. Was the last Crusade in the late 80s?
Let's not. Is this an Indiana Jones flick?
Yes.
There you go. Temple of Doom is earlier than I think it's Temple of Doom. I would assume.
Really?
I would have assumed.
I'm going to try Last Crusade then. Is it Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade?
Yes. Guys, you got the meat and the bread with fewer than 18 guesses.
That's
well done.
The full sando.
First time playing the middle. Eight, though. You guys went full sando on this one.
The face was not one that I've seen before. That was a fresh.
I don't know how to access whatever that noise is without doing that face.
No, I get it.
To someone sitting in a theater watching 30 Days of Night as it premieres, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade is as old to them as this movie is to us, which doesn't feel that old.
Huh.
Isn't that weird?
Wow.
That is weird. I love this kind of thing. Thank you for this game.
Very good. Very good.
And I love how it gets us right. Do it. Do it. What a great transition.
To make sure that we get to grow just as old as these movies do, I would like to ensure that we put dollars in our pockets for food in our mouth, particularly raw ground beef. Mm. Let's head to shout outs.
Yum.
Wait. Welcome to. I couldn't talk that way.
I think if I tried that, my throat would get so dry that I would start talking and never stop.
Welcome to Shout Announcements. Which, Doze, have you thought about how we're as close to the beginning of this podcast right now as we are to the end of this podcast episode?
Wow. That's really something. When you step back and frame it that way,
right here in the middle.
I can understand why a lot of people skip and just listen to this part, the middle
part. Hey, listener, welcome to the meat. Here we are.
Yeah, this is the meat of the pod sand.
And if you would like to meet some of our dear, dear friends in our community, that was so good. Head on over to Discord. That's great. Why don't you? That was great. Come in there. Have us talk to it. Talk to us. Talk to it. Mm-hmm. Box Office Ball, thank you, Phil, for taking the reins. Shout out to Phil Hill, who is our man in the chair, really, for two chunks as a product sometimes. And he was in there for Box Office Ball, doing the good work, starting up that new fall season, that October ballot. Go ahead and jump on in. I think there's lots of grace here for October. Jump in, make yourself a ballot, join Box Office Ball. We'd love to have you.
We'd love to have you. We hope you've been training during the off season. We don't want to blast any hamstrings or smash, rip any glutes or anything like that. I hope you've been training and stretching. Speaking of off season, the off season is coming to an end for your hopefully favorite Dungeons and Dragons actual play, role play heavy cinematic audio produced podcast.
Love it.
Imagine Dungeons season 2 will be releasing. Let me get this date right. I can't read my calendar. Hang on, I got
it. Will be releasing.
Keep all this in. This is good podcasting. We'll keep all this in.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that, how on pins and needles they are? They're going to lose their minds. When I say it will be releasing on the 5th of November. Remember.
The 5th of November.
V for We're Dungeons excited. And Dragons.
Yeah, D for Dendetta. We're so excited to bring this to you guys. I'm really excited to get this season out into the wild. See how it repopulates its ancestral habitat on your podcast feeds.
Back to the show.
We're back. We're talking about 30 Days of Night, the third, the middle, the meat of our vampire series. From you. We're back. And let's talk about 30 Days of Night. First time viewer.
First time viewer here.
First time for me too.
Never seen this movie before until now. So,
what'd you guys think of it?
I have a lot of thoughts, actually.
I have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah.
I think as a whole, we took, I'll say badass, pretty cool concept here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And handled it a little bit more like a cover band.
Fully agreed.
Yes.
Then.
Great way of putting it.
Something legitimate. Now, there were moments. Yes.
10 out of 10 idea.
Yeah. So 30 Days of Night as a whole, just looking at the poster, just seeing some various screenshots, reading about it, I thought this is going to be in that arena that sometimes is my favorite movie experience, which is big budget bad movie. Fast and the Furious does this so well. Bits of ups and downs. 30 Days of Night, I want to try and talk a little bit as we get through this movie. My trajectory here, how I felt about it. Because there's this fine line for me of a good, bad movie that is like, this is just exhausting and bad.
Yeah.
Like, I would say Morbius was just bad, right? Are there really moments that we get to laugh about in that?
It's like, Morbin time.
Yeah. Did he say that?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I was like, I can't.
He did, right before he morbed?
That would have really stood out to me.
It was right before he morbed.
Anyways, very different kind of vampire in this one.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think that I feel very similarly. The idea is 10 out of 10. And I spent a long time after we finished it telling Callie about how I think it could have been better. Mm-hmm. I think my ultimate sort of spot that I've landed on this movie is that it takes all of the best and worst parts of 2007. And movies that came out in 2007.
It is both of those. Such a 2007 movie, and dude.
I'll tell you right now, my super dump, we don't even do these really anymore, but if I was going to identify one, it would be the Jason Bourne camera work. I spent most of this movie being like, I bet what's happening is cool. I can't tell, but I bet it's cool. But yeah, I think that, you know, this sparked a really interesting conversation with Callie and I about like, well, essay conversation, it was mostly her humoring me while I talked about it for a long time, but it was sort of the idea of like,
do you practice the podcast to her?
Yeah. Like, say, can, before I get, we record, can I get every some time? Of my bits?
Hold up, let me grab the mic.
And then I'm gonna make this really loud, squeaky sound.
Do you mind if I sit down for this part? It feels like this is the era we're back in again in pop culture.
Ooh.
If this movie was released today, the only real difference, I think, would be that it would be starring the cast of The Summer I Turned Pretty, and instead of Josh Hartnett, it would be like Noah Centineo as the tall guy that's playing Frankenstein. Like, it would just be a bunch of hot young people.
Jacob Elordi.
Which Yeah, I feel like that's the main difference here is that it would just be a bunch of hot young people and they would be like, Danny Houston, ew, he's an old. We have to only put hot young people in it. Mm. And it would come out straight to Amazon Prime and it would be
shot even, on the volume.
Right. It would be worse than this, but it would. Yeah. It's a similar ethos of movie making, it feels like, today.
Yeah.
A lot of things about the late 2000s, like leading up to 2010, are back right now. But the movie making ethos feels very similar, where it was like 2007 feels like a dark period in quality movies. There's some that come out for sure,
right.
But it feels like a lot of them were like, how do we make sure that people sit down and we make money off of this, which we're just back to in streaming form now.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's what it really feels like. Is the rhyme, if we want to talk about how time works, it feels like where we're back to is the trend that this has been, that what this movie represents is back today. So it felt a little odd watching it and being like, yeah, this premise, like a lot of things that come out now, this premise is amazing. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it feels kind of sad to me that it was wasted on what is essentially a zombie movie with a couple smart zombies.
Right.
Right. That's kind of the bummer.
Very zombie.
It is The Walking Dead. Like, it pretty much is The Walking Dead of like, here's a sheriff and he's going to lead this little ragtag group of folks.
Yep.
It's it was originally conceived as a movie like this and then nobody would pick it up to create it. And so it was turned into a comic series.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I feel like it probably works better as a comic series than as a single movie because there's entirely too many characters.
Yeah.
I don't care about most of these people. There's way too many of them. If they had just sort of held on a little bit longer and put this out on AMC in like 2012 or 13.
Could have gotten six seasons out of this thing.
Would have been great. Yeah. They'd still be making it and we'd be tired of it.
Yeah,
I just feel like a 2-hour movie is the wrong medium 100%. To tell this particular story.
To tell this version of this story. This could be a super tight 90-minute action flick.
That's it. Yeah.
Yes.
It's not.
This movie just felt like a brainstorm. Like, it felt like we had a bunch of idea people in a room, took one shot at it, and put it to film. It was like, why don't we clean it up? Like, let's come cut the fat. Let's, like, let's take out the romance, even though that made it a really funny, bad movie.
Out of here, yes.
It made it a funny, bad. Like, there were moments that made me laugh out loud when it was just like, she was just really horny for leadership. Like, anytime... He for was sure. like, I'm going to go do this. We would.
Even if the idea was bad, she was like, ooh, he's taking charge. Ooh,
yeah, at 100%.
Least he's got a plan.
She was there were some vampires everywhere, and she was the thirstiest, for sure.
Right. Absolutely. When he was like, they give you guys guns now in the bar, about 4 seconds before he said that, I was like, why does she have a gun? She's part of the fight. She's
a firefighter.
Dude. And then he asked the same question. I was like, at least...
Hey,
you know, at least we're acknowledging that it's a little silly.
Yeah.
The 2007 vibe of like every line has to be badass.
Yes.
Dude. Like there's no,
yes,
there's,
dude.
There's it's no. like even, there's nothing like, so what I'm not advocating for is like a really 2025, like, the vampire's right behind me, isn't he?
Right.
But there's like there is no pressure release. There's no moment of levity at all in this whole movie.
And not intentionally.
Everything is just like, moody, broody, badass. Mm-hmm. But that line in particular of him being like, they let you carry one of those things? And she's like, I didn't ask.
Right.
Like, it's there's just every line it. Is like, auditioning to be the cool tagline for this movie.
I would like to suggest something that I want us to do for a little bit. Let's spend a couple minutes. We're not like at the end of the discussion or anything, but I want to take a couple minutes and just, can we fire off some like, I hated this, I loved this, I hated this, I loved this. I think it would be helpful for me because I just kind of have a list of things.
Yeah, it's tough because there's a little bit of both. So Mark Boone, who was Bo Brower, we were trying to make that sound really cool too. This was the guy that drove the chainsaw at one point.
Oh, you mean the guy that should have been the main character?
Yes.
Got it.
He was great, but it was like this.
Wait, that's the guy, he was in Batman, right? In Batman Begins?
Yes.
Okay.
The layers here. Like there were so many moments that were right in the middle. Thanks for this middle game that you've given to us, Doge. But like
it's just James eating the world.
It's that perfect bad that it's good kind of moment. But when he's like, it's my turn. Because there's always like, he's gonna Boromir. He's gonna Boromir out here.
Awesome.
He's like, what do you mean it's your turn? Like we have
when he drives that thing.
We just know that you're lonely and you like to receive citations to make it feel like you can you have a heartbeat.
Worst, that line betrayed the ethos of this movie to me so early on that the director, the writer, whoever was like, this is a good line to put in that we make him feel like he's part of the community. We remind him he's part of our community by giving him a citation.
It's citation?
Like, how about somebody drives to his house, brings him some groceries, asks how he's doing? What are we talking about? Such a cop mentality to be like, the best way to remind them he's part of society is to give him a ticket.
Is to penalize him.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Give him a star. It's
so stupid. But him driving whatever that vehicle was, chainsaw car.
That was great. That's a highlight.
Very good. Very cool.
Wish we would have done that more rather than crash it. Yeah.
Sam Raimi produced this, and he was approached to direct, passed on it, decided to produce. But there are moments like Chainsaw Car and like is his name Manu Bennett, the gentleman who loses his arm in the Muffin Man machine?
Yes, Chris.
That whole sequence of him freaking out with only one arm and then getting his head chopped.
Yeah that cool.
Was Sam Raimi.
Brutal. Yeah. Very Sam Raimi. Very cool.
Yep.
I laughed out loud when what did you say his name was? Boone? Bo. When Bo, after driving the chainsaw car, is like, you're not going to eat me, and then tries to blow himself up and fails and still gets eaten is so funny.
Hey, he is sitting by a box of dynamite, but it just lights his feet on fire and flips him over.
He's ragdolls himself.
Shoots him out a window, and then he still gets ate, which is hilarious. I think, for my money, grandma's pot grow, go grab her sun lamp.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
Oh, man.
Brilliant.
Great idea.
That's so cool. Too.
I know. That should have been their plan. Like, oh, this worked. Let's figure out a way to do this.
Let's hook it up to the front of chainsaw car.
Oh, yeah.
And drive around town shooting our beams. Shooting our beams.
Which, like, here's how you know it is not quite vampire lore. Because vamps have a hard time with fire. Is that right?
They should.
So it's like, oh God, they got into the pipelines. They're just spilling oil. Like so the spilling oil into the streets, though, does feel like a Korn music video. Like that's pretty dope.
Yeah that's fair.
And we're about to just light it up.
Yeah.
But it was just like, that was their solution. So it's like, I guess we got all the food we need. If there's more food, who cares? Roast it, you know? This is our city now? Like, what were they going to do after this town?
Well, apparently there's a bunch of presumed lore that I assume people are getting from the comics.
Yeah.
These vampires are a secret society that move from town to town and do things like this, and they were under strict orders to not turn anybody into vampires, but to only feed, and they chose this town because it was going to be dark for 30 days, even though it feels like they probably got their fill on day one, because we spend 45 minutes of this movie on day one. And
everybody
feels
dead.
Pretty much everybody's dead at that point. And so like apparently there's a bunch of lore and these vampires are highly complex and intelligent. And like I think saw that from two.
You know what makes it better at that point?
Hmm.
It's if that's their agreement, then that should be the reason why all the planes leave, because planes can still fly at night.
I want to
make that abundantly clear.
Planes
can fly at night
after dark plenty of times.
They don't need the sunshine to know where they're going. Planes can fly at night. But if it's like some sort of agreement with the leader of this town of like, yeah, we're going to strand our people here. It's tradition to dock the population number. And every time this happens, you guys get to come and have free reign. That's our agreement in exchange for something else.
So this was...
Which is kind of cabin in the woods.
The fix to me is the familiar should have been somebody that had implanted himself in the town for a little bit and was in a position of leadership to where... Because I don't think if you do this, this happens once a year. If the agreement is that they come once a year, nobody's going to live in this town. But right. I think if they had the familiar implant himself in leadership in the town and agree to like... sabotage the airport so nobody can leave as part of what he was doing, then all of a sudden now they're all stranded.
Carter also be the familiar. That's Nathaniel Lees. Carter was the one who ran that big machinery spot that ends up meat grinding or whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, why not?
I think that that would be very interesting. I think that, again, I really feel like making Bo the main character and having him do the sacrifice. Because, like, turn self into vampire to fight vampire, very cool, very good idea.
Extremely cool.
Have so Bo funny. Do that, and at the end, have the whole town come sit around him and have that be like, he showed that he cares about us. Yep. He's part of us, and now it's too late. That's more interesting to me than, like, Eben. But, like, this was 2007. Everything had to be a romance story a little bit. It had to.
I think
don't want to watch unless it is.
I want to talk about Ben Foster, who this, more than anything, made me sad. It was, like, so close. But it almost felt like he was trying to Rickman, like, Robin Hood vibes. Like, be the best character of a movie that's kind of already ridiculous, but he actually overdid it. Like, I think Ben Foster was trying too hard, and I normally like him a lot. In even characters like this, he was Hell or High Water. He's been in 3:10 to Yuma. Yeah. He's usually like a henchman that is just despicable and not the main villain, but someone you hope dies a satisfying death.
I think the makeup and costume department did him no favors because he looked like like when he showed up, I was like, oh, this guy's already a monster.
The foam coming out of his mouth when he talked was
his choice. That was a strange choice.
So odd.
I think there's, and again, if it had been a miniseries, there's ample time for the slow burn of like who's in charge of this town that's invited these folks in. Maybe we can pull that from vampire lore. We've invited them to this town because we've stranded all these folks here. I just think it clearly, maybe not clearly, it felt like it really wanted to be a zombie movie. And
it
we did
was
vampires
a zombie
instead.
Movie. Yeah. This was a zombie movie with two vampires that communicated with each other.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's all this was. And I feel like that's a huge miss.
Yeah.
I had names for the vampires because they weren't given them. But there were two henchmen in particular. One of them I called
That's beautiful. I love the way you see the world. That's
I
really
called
pretty.
Sladrian
that's
Brody. A beautiful idea. Who was just kind of like the skinny guy. Yeah.
Sure.
And then there was Dave Bautista, who was
I called him Bloodbeard the Pirate.
Oh my God. That dude was, and it's just so like the way we also tried to, when I talk about it being a brainstorm, right? We tried to hold on to not revealing. We should have waited longer before we revealed what they look like. Not that it's some satisfying payoff, but early on, when they're just taking people, that's the scarier part. That's the better part.
Yes, for sure.
People are just disappearing. Hey, what if we really never saw? Like, how far can we go without actually seeing?
Yeah, just hold off longer, I think, would be good. Because the moment that they walk out and it's just like dudes with bad teeth and regular clothes, they're not scary anymore.
You know what is really interesting is watching this movie months after seeing Sinners twice, because it's trying to do like a lot of the same things that Sinners does. That really like classic kind of like vampire hostage, like vampires have trapped us in this environment, sort of The Stand or Salem's Lot kind of vibes. And I just think Sinners does it a lot better than this.
Of course.
Of course it does. Yeah.
Which is not, and it feels redundant, but it's interesting. That they feel like sort of the same, I guess, same shape of a movie.
Yeah. We had such a great start because the phones being burned was really cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
The dogs, as sad as that was, it was like, okay, they are gradually taking away our get out. Someone messes up somebody's helicopter, you know, but then it just got, I think the romance was the wrench in all of it. I think
that was
they tried so
part
hard.
Of it. It was one of the worst aspects.
It beget so many other things in my mind of like, why are we?
Also, I'm not sure that we have proof any of these characters exist from the nipples down.
That's true.
Yeah, it's a lot of close-ups, huh?
A lot of jacket.
Almost exclusively, we are getting shoulders. Shoulders, neck, and head is like pretty much all we ever see of anybody.
Yes.
Even in the action shots, which is cool.
There was a great action shot that reminded me of one of our favorite things about the most recent John Wick, which was that above follow of like we saw people basically the slaughter of the town, which happened
that was
on day one.
Which,
the wild thing is now that is like such an easy shot to get. I could go outside and get that shot with my drone. But in 2007, we did not have drones, yeah, so we had to commission a helicopter and sit in the helicopter and hold our heavy camera while this is happening.
Yeah. One of my favorite things was the moment that that Carter character, it's like, there's only six of us left. Like, they hadn't even been counting down how many people were left.
Right.
But it was to set up the line. And he was like, it's about to be five. And he's just like, oh my God, dude.
Uh-oh.
So dude, good. But he's like, hey, man. And our deep, deep, like, inoculation of the theme of, like, family was so odd.
Yeah.
And too much. Josh lost his mind, dude. I wish we could, we would be in the same room. Because the next time I see one of y'all, I want to do what he does to the guy when he sees him for the first time in a long time after he's killed his family. The way they're just kind of like grappling and like, yes, like forearm to the side of your head. Like, I love you, but hate you kind of thing. I think what happened is people were so high on the moment of this movie when they were making it that they watched those two guys do that and people were just weeping. They're like, no, probably, we got to keep it. Just one shot. We got to keep it. That was so good. That
probably.
So good.
Just like, I feel that is very, that's a something I do wonder. Like, the movie is so self-serious. And so, like, I think the movie at least believes itself to be quite profound. Do you think people are crying at the
you think premiere? The movie thinks it's
at
profound?
The end? Yes. Yeah. They caught enough kids in puberty that at the end with the ash and he's just dying in her arms is like Twilight wishes.
He makes sometimes this sound. When he's turning into ash, it's sort of this like, ah! And I giggled. I'm going to be honest with you. I giggled.
Ah! Ah! I'm becoming ash. The sun is burning all my skin off.
Deborah. I'm turning into dust, Deborah.
I'm a charcoal briquette.
I feel similarly the way that you feel about the love story, which I also agree with. I feel about the brother. And it's just like, we don't need
all those guys.
It just feels extra. It feels,
the sun lamp for pot should have been Bo.
For sure. Or the lady that almost did a threesome.
Oh yeah.
Either one of them. But correct me if I'm wrong here. I'm pretty sure we only got like 4 day updates. Like, I think it was like after the first night, which lasted forever. It was like, now it's day 7. And then it was like, now it's day 28.
27 or 28, yeah.
And then it was like, and now the sun comes up tomorrow. So it's not really 30 days of night so much as it is a few days of fighting and then a bunch of sitting in an attic, I assume pooping in a corner, but I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think they lower it down to the street in the bucket?
Yeah, maybe.
And the vampires are just like, I don't know. There is still a bucket of shit over here. They keep it's fresh shit every morning.
I guess they come here to do it. How do they sneak around me? I guess we should rate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's rate it using the scientific cinema scale, which is perfect, and as follows. The best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it. Don't lend it. Buy that poster. The next best thing is buy it. That's followed by rent it. And then stream it. After that is forget it. And last but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
God hath forsaken us.
In the theme of a middle here, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say stream. I was delighted to, hopefully Paramount's not listening, use my dear friend Jordan's Paramount account to stream this movie.
Did you both use my Paramount account to watch this movie?
I haven't rated it yet. You can't ask me.
So that was great to just be able, I was watching it on the plane and there were moments that I was like kind of covering the, because it was a night flight. And so I didn't want to just blast
get two
headings to who knows who's sitting behind me. But I think knowing that I didn't have to pay anything for this was just like, man, this is how it's supposed to be.
Sure.
This was great. And I would watch it. I would watch it certainly with someone who hasn't seen it before.
Yeah.
That is the kind of down for the vibe of a pretty bad movie. But I stream it. Good ideas.
I'm going to stream it as well. And I hope Paramount is not listening. I was very happy that I could use Jordan's Paramount Plus account and not have to pay for this, because it does sort of feel like the most expensive sci-fi channel original movie you're ever going to watch. Mm. It's a ton of fun. It's a ton of fun. It's a fair amount of fun.
Yeah, I think that's more fair. I'm forgetting it for a few reasons. I don't think I enjoyed it quite as much as y'all did. It didn't. There were a couple moments that I was like, oh, it's so bad, it's good. But mostly I was pretty bored. And I can't think of anybody I dislike speaking to enough that I would rather watch this than just sit and talk.
I'll tell you what it's perfect for. What environment it's perfect for is put it on in the background of your Halloween party.
There's so many better movies
like,
to do.
And then be
that.
Like, everybody, hang on, watch. He's about to punch through the back of Danny Houston's
We didn't
skull.
Talk about that. That part
yeah,
was
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that was pretty
cool. That's wild.
We didn't talk about that. That part was cool. But also, I think I would forget it also so that hopefully it would have a chance to be made well. Because I feel like, again, the sort of, not, I'm not even willing to say the bones are good. I just think the general idea, the start point is good, and everything should change after that. But
what streamer would you be excited to find out they have picked this up? They're going to do a limited series of this.
Great question. There are only two streamers that I think are even good anymore for original content that's not reality, and that is HBO and Apple. So pretty much if it's not HBO or Apple, I would say it's probably going to be bad.
That's fair.
And that goes, by the way, that goes for pretty much anything. If you could be like, a Stormlight series is being made, and I'd be like, oh, who's doing it? And you could be like, Amazon. I'd be like, oh, it's going to be bad.
Oh, man.
But you, on the other hand, you could be like, a Poopy Doo Doo series is being made and Apple TV picked it up. And I'd be like, well, I guess I might check it out. I got to check it out.
Starring James Marsden as Poopy Doo Doo. They really got him.
DD Mega Doo Doo, full series. 2 seasons at least.
Tony Collette as Officer DD Mega Doo Doo. Interesting.
Side note, if y'all haven't watched the trailer yet for Pluribus on Apple TV, the new show from Vince Gilligan, starring our very own Kim Wexler. What's her name again?
Rhea Seehorn,
who I love. Please go check that out, because that trailer looks pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Okay. Very different tonally from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. So I'm really excited to let Vince get
sort of a sort of like a true crime, like a crime drama set in New Mexico.
Did you get crime drama from it?
I didn't get crime drama at all, but I did get New Mexico for sure.
Well,
that's Albuquerque.
Did you see why he did it? Why he set the show in New Mexico?
No.
A ton of the crew from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul moved to Albuquerque to make the shows. And he was like, I want to work with the same group and I don't want them to have to relocate their families. So let's just do it here again.
Cool.
Vince Gilligan. I'm not going to say he's the last true artist in television, but he's certainly on the Rushmore. We'll say that.
I think he's in a league of his own on TV. Like, I don't think there's anybody else in TV who's got no misses, you know?
Ben Stilley is so far one for one, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, so check that trailer out. I'm really excited about that. It's been a minute since a new, like, scripted television show from the jump has gotten me excited. And this one is one that I'm ready to tune in for. So check that out. Well, next week we're going to do Lost Boys. I'm very excited about the Lost Boys. It's going to be pretty vibey, I think. To end today's episode, let's say which Lost Boy we would be. I'm Jordan and I'm the raccoon.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I know all of them too. I'm Doge and I know all the Lost Boys. And I'm probably, I think kind of like the bad boy who has sunglasses and the leather jacket. You know that one?
We're not talking about the same thing.
No, I'm talking about the one from Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Who cusses.
Yeah. I remember him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. They're all like playing pretend and he has cards. He's like shuffling cards and he cusses.
I think his name is like Bitch Bigsby.
Bitch Bigsby? I think so, yeah. And Peter Pan's like, let's fly and play pretend. And Bitch Bigsby's like, damn.
I'm Carter. I think I'd be the rabbit.
Wabbit.
No, what a wabbit, boy.
Gonna be the wabbit.
Probably.
Yeah, I see that for you.
Thanks. Yeah.
Appreciate it.